best country music ever made from the 70s to today for all of Northwest Wisconsin. WSCM, Baldwin, 95.7 FM.
WSCM, 95.7 FM. St. Croix Country. I'm a simple girl myself, grew up on Long Island. So she packs her bags to try her hand, says this might be my last chance. She's gone country, look at them boots. She's gone country, back to her roots. She's gone country, a new kind of suit. She's gone country. Here she comes. Well, the folk seems dead, but he's holding out in the village. He's been writing songs, speaking out against wealth and privilege. He says, I don't believe in money, but a man could make him a killing. Some of that stuff don't sound much different than Dylan. I hear down there it's changed, you see. Well, they're not as backward as they used to be. He's gone country, look at them boots. He's gone country, back to his roots. He's gone country, a new kind of suit. He's gone country, yeah, he comes. To LA, but he's got a house in the valley. But the bills are piling up, and the pop scene just ain't on the rally. And he says, honey, I'm a serious composer, schooled in voice and composition. But with a crime and the smog these days, this ain't no place for children. Lord, it sounds so easy, it shouldn't take long. Be back in the money in no time at all. He's gone country, look at them boots. He's gone country, back to his roots. He's gone country, a new kind of suit. He's gone country, yeah, he comes. Yeah, he's gone country. He's gone country. Everybody's gone country. Yeah, we've gone country. The whole world's gone country.
This is InfoTrack, the weekly show with information you should know. Here's what's happening on this week's show.
An entire generation of American youth has now grown up with social media. How has it impacted young people's mental and physical health? And how can social media's influence be made more positive in the years ahead?
There is a continuous presence of social media, and when one thinks about it, it is actually astonishing that we haven't paid attention to the potential impact of social media on our health.
Then, artificial intelligence can deliver fast results in many ways. but how does it do in creating exercise plans on an individual basis?
That is our vision for the future. AI should be used in conjunction with a trained professional in the field to capture both the science and the art of exercise prescription.
Those two stories and more are ahead on this week's InfoTrack.
Get in zone, AutoZone.
Welcome to AutoZone. What are you working on today?
I think my battery's dead.
With free battery testing and charging, we can help you get back on the road.
Get in zone, AutoZone.
So what if I need a new one?
We have the right Duralast battery for you, only at AutoZone.
Get in zone, AutoZone.
And what about my old battery?
We can recycle it right here at America's number one battery destination.
Get in zone, AutoZone.
Restrictions apply.
When you use Bounce dryer sheets and your clothes look amazing, it's the sheet. Less static in your life? Yeah, it's the sheet. Smelling fresher than ever? It's the sheet. Oh, so soft fabric? Ooh la la. It's the sheet. Less wrinkles on your clothes? You know it's the sheet. Bounce dryer sheets. More freshness, more softness. Less static, less wrinkles. It's the sheet.
Every day, Cintas service reps help businesses get ready for the workday. They provide freshly laundered workwear delivered every week. Mats, mops, restroom and cleaning supplies. First aid and safety products to help your employees stay safe. They even test and inspect fire extinguishers and emergency lights. Cintas helps keep your business running smoothly. See what Cintas can do for you. Visit Cintas.com.
Oh, I'm ready!
And get ready for the workday.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
InfoTrack, the weekly show with information you should know. Here's your host, Chris Whitting.
A recent report looked at social media's impact on adolescents. Here to talk about it is the lead author of the report, Sandro Galea, Dean and Robert A. Knox Professor at the Boston University School of Public Health. According to the report, why are adolescents especially vulnerable to the effects of social media as compared to adults?
Adolescence is a time of rapid change. It's rapid development, rapid maturational change, and there's plenty of science that shows that a lot of things that happen in adolescence have implications throughout our lives. So adolescents are both more vulnerable, and whatever happens in adolescence has a longer-term impact, has a longer-tail impact throughout many years of adult life.
Well, online harassment and abuse are significant concerns. What measures does your report recommend social media companies implement to protect minors from these dangers?
Yeah, the report is very clear that online harassment abuse is perhaps the most clearly demonstrated harm that can emerge from social media. And we recommend a number of things around that. Number one is that companies implement systems that are accountable and transparent and easily available so that adolescents can report abuse. And number two is that that involves clear feedback that companies resolve the abuse and circle back and close it. We also talk quite a bit about educational infrastructure for adolescents, that adolescents are taught how to use social media correctly and how to deal with social media, including the development of treatments, which we recommend that is spearheaded by SAMHSA, the Substance Abuse Mental Health Service Administration, to help adolescents who have to deal with social media harassment and abuse.
How has the advent of smartphone technology over the last 15 years changed adolescents' relationship with the internet and impacted their mental health?
Well, I think it's changed all our relationship with the internet, not only adolescents. It's hard to remember, but 15 years ago, only about 5% of people were engaged with social media on a regular basis. Now, essentially in North America, social media is ubiquitous in nearly all age groups. So the availability of smartphones, the portable availability of these technologies for all of us have made social media an inextricable part of our lives. So there is a continuous presence of social media, and when one thinks about it, it is actually astonishing that we haven't paid attention to the potential impact of social media on our health thus far. So this report, in some respects, felt a little bit long overdue in that it's hard to imagine another comparable ubiquitous force in the world around us that we have paid so little attention to in terms of its impact that it may have on health.
The report mentions the potential of social media algorithms to influence adolescents, both positively and negatively. Could you give us some examples of how that might happen?
Yeah, algorithms are a core part of how social media works, and they reinforce what one is seeing and what one is engaging with. There are many potential negatives of algorithms. For example, the reinforcing negative adverse behaviors. One of the clearest examples of this in literature is around eating disorders, where people who are searching for particular terms, where they go down this path where they keep seeing images and videos of people who have eating disorders and reinforcing the centrality of eating disorders into their life. That's on the negative side. On the positive side, if algorithms are designed correctly, they can actually serve to elevate material that brings joy, that brings connection. One of the positives of social media is its capacity to connect adolescents in particular who are isolated, who are in marginalized groups, who are living in isolated communities. So the fundamental engine of social media can be arrayed to produce positive benefits, but also can be arrayed to lean into harm. And perhaps one of the key messages of the report is that we need clarity in the science about what is positive and what is negative to the end of incentivizing positive functioning of social media that generates health rather than harms.
We're talking about social media's impact on adolescents, and our guest is a lead author of a recent report, Sandro Galea, Dean and Robert A. Knox Professor at the Boston University School of Public Health. How does the report propose to address the need for education and training among medical professionals and teachers to mitigate the effects of social media on children?
Yeah, the report observes something which I made reference to earlier. It is actually surprising that we've paid as little attention as we have given the omnipresence, the ubiquity of social media, and particularly that we do not have any standardized training for adolescents about how to use social media. One analogy which I've used is we often put adolescents in cars without driver training, something we would not countenance. So the report suggests that we create structured training for medical professionals as well as for teachers, recognizing that both are deeply influential in terms of creating moments, teachable moments for adolescents. But both medical professionals and teachers need to be trained in order to know how to train adolescents. So we talk a little bit about the bodies that oversee training for teachers and the bodies that oversee training for medical professionals, and that they need to develop curricula and make these curricula a core part of teacher training and a core part of health professional training. We also talk about how we need to make sure that there's space made for this in curricula that adolescents are exposed to in school. Because, of course, simply saying that we should teach adolescents is impracticable if this kind of training is not woven into what adolescents experience in school.
For parents who are listening, obviously they may not be professionals in terms of counseling. What advice could you give for a parent of an adolescent in terms of monitoring their social media?
Yeah, one of the misconceptions about the report since it has come out, I feel, has been that, you know, the report does not say that the science shows dispositively that social media harms adolescent mental health, because the science does not, because it's actually quite difficult to do the right science that says that clearly across the board. What the report does say is that social media can be harmful if it is not used right, and that there are ways in which social media can also bring joy and pleasure to adolescents. So I want to be clear that when parents are listening to this, they recognize that there is great potential for harm to come from social media, but there's also potential for joy and connectedness that can come to adolescents from social media. So I suppose, to come specifically to your question, I think it comes down to parental involvement, engagement, and awareness of how adolescents are using social media to make sure that adolescents are not using social media in a way that reinforces unhealthy habits or that gets them involved in communities that are going to cause them harm. And one of the questions I often get asked is, well, should parents monitor usage of social media? The answer is, well, it depends. If usage of social media is interfering with other functions of adolescents, which is eating and sleeping and doing homework, then it is very reasonable for monitoring and for restricting use of social media, even if the science is not specific enough to show particular guidance. For example, there really isn't enough data to say nobody should use social media after 10 o'clock. I'm using that as an example. But that doesn't mean that in the context of an adolescent's full life, that a parent should not exercise their parental responsibility to monitor carefully what an adolescent is doing and make sure that social media is a part of and not the fullness of a teenager's life.
What message do you hope to convey to the public and policymakers about social media's impact on adolescent health?
I think the fundamental message is that social media is a set of tools like anything else. And depending on how it's used by adolescents, it can bring adolescents connectedness, joy, opportunities for creative expression, opportunities for individuation and identity formation, or it can bring adolescent exposure to harassment, to abuse, to distraction from their schoolwork, to displacement of other activities. All of that can be true of the same tool, the tool being social media. So our job as a society is to create the guidelines and the rules to maximize the positive social media. And I think our job as parents is to monitor carefully the use of social media so that adolescents who are in our orbit are benefiting and not being harmed by social media.
Sandro Galea, Dean and Robert A. Knox Professor at the Boston University School of Public Health, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you, Chris, for having me.
Next, getting an exercise plan from AI. That story, straight ahead.
There's more InfoTrack coming up. Stay tuned.
When you use Bounce dryer sheets and your clothes look amazing, it's the sheet. Less static in your life? Yeah, it's the sheet. Smelling fresher than ever? It's the sheet. Oh, so soft fabric? Ooh la la. It's the sheet. Less wrinkles on your clothes? You know it's the sheet. Bounce dryer sheets. More freshness, more softness. Less static, less wrinkles. It's the sheet.
Get in zone, AutoZone.
Welcome to AutoZone. What are you working on today? Brakes? We can save you 15% on that. We have OE quality Duralast brake pads and rotors in stock, ready for pickup or delivery. We also have calipers, brake fluid, tools, and anything else you'll need to do the job right. When you get Duralast pads and rotors together, you'll save 15%. It's just part of what makes us America's number one brakes destination.
Get in zone, AutoZone.
Imagine your team always looking and feeling their best in high-performance technical workwear. Cintas can make it happen. They have garments for almost every job imaginable. And with the Cintas Workwear program, you get freshly laundered garments delivered every week for everyone on your team. Great garments without the bother of laundry. That's a real perk for employees. Find out how Cintas can boost team image and morale. Visit Cintas.com.
Oh, I'm ready!
And get ready for the workday.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile. And the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time. There's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Now, InfoTrack continues. Once again, here's Chris Whitting.
Artificial intelligence, or AI, is revolutionizing results in a multitude of areas. But specific needs may still benefit from a human touch. Here with this story, InfoTrack's Roy Mackey. Roy?
Chris, we're joined by Linda Pescatello, PhD, Distinguished Professor of Kinesiology at the University of Connecticut's College of Agriculture, Health, and Natural Resources. Professor, people have been experimenting with ChatGPT and other AIs, seeking expertise and advice on all sorts of topics. You took a look at the accuracy of ChatGPT's individualized exercise recommendations. I'd like to start trying to find in this study.
It's looking at the comprehensiveness, the accuracy, and readability of exercise recommendations provided by a generative AI-based chatbot, GPT. We prompted ChatGPT in terms of what exercise recommendations they would make for 26 clinical populations in the ACSM guidelines. These recommendations are for people all over the world of any race, ethnicity, age, gender, sex. And examples of these clinical populations include people with hypertension, dyslipidemia, diabetes, fibromyalgia, to name a few. We determined how comprehensive were the guidelines, were they accurate, and at what reading level of difficulty were they given to the user.
So tell us the results.
Sure. Our major findings were that ChatGPT did poorly on the comprehensiveness of the exercise prescription. What that means is giving the recommendation along the lines of the FIT-VP principle. They would give portions of the principle, but not the principle in its entirety.
What was the most common misinformation that ChatGPT provided?
Well, one of the major areas of limitation were the recommendations regarding, does an individual need to be cleared by a medical provider before they start exercising? And in most cases, the recommendations given by ChatGPT was that they would need some type of medical clearance, which is not consistent with the current recommendations.
I understand that ChatGPT also tended to talk over people's heads in a way. Tell us about that.
Yes, the readability level was extremely high at the college level. When the recommendation in medical practice is that it be made at about the sixth grade level, which clearly could limit the type of user that would be enabled to use this technology to access their exercise recommendations. And then the recommendations were not accurate regarding the need for medical clearance. And I was fortunate enough to be on a scientific roundtable sponsored by the American College of Sports Medicine, in which our panel of experts agreed that the need for medical clearance be reduced unless a person presents with signs or symptoms of disease or has a change in their medical status, and that most people can begin exercising at light to moderate intensity. And if an individual wishes to engage in vigorous intensity, they may require medical clearance. So medical clearance in and of itself should not be a deterrent to get people up and exercising. In the case of ChatGPT, they often recommended that people of various clinical conditions seek out medical clearance.
Our guest on InfoTrack is Dr. Linda Pescatello, Distinguished Professor of Kinesiology at the University of Connecticut. And we're talking about her study that examined the ability of ChatGPT to make personalized recommendations for exercise. I know it wasn't your research, but I understand another study found that mobile phone apps aren't any better in terms of giving exercise advice.
Correct. And it's interesting you should bring that up, because how I was particularly interested in becoming a part of this study is through my work in exercise prescription over the years. I was the person that formulated the FIT principle of exercise prescription in the 8th and 9th edition of the American College of Sports Medicine Guidelines. And subsequently, I taught numerous certification workshops and just found that practitioners were confused on how to personalize an exercise prescription to maximize health benefits. So the research team in my laboratory, and Dr. Zaleski has been part of this, have come up with an algorithm that enables clinicians to develop evidence-based personalized exercise prescriptions in 5 minutes or less. And part of the scalability of that software technology would be adding on AI itself. That is our vision for the future. But again, one of our conclusions is that AI should be used in conjunction with a trained professional in the field to capture both the science and the art of exercise prescription.
So this tool that you developed for physicians and healthcare providers and exercise professionals, do you envision that that may ever be available to the general public?
Yes, that's our vision. We're purposely starting with clinicians because that is something we determined would be our most readily available users. And we're in the process of conducting some usability and feasibility studies. And our goal would be to get clinician feedback and then scale it to the patients themselves.
Aside from your tool, do you think ChatGPT and other AIs may eventually catch up and learn how to provide this sort of advice to everyone?
Well, I think the win-win for our research team is that because of the expertise we have behind the development of our software web-based algorithm, that could be used in conjunction with AI to provide clinicians and patients with the most evidence-based, accurate exercise prescription to maximize the clinical condition being targeted.
Well, for the average person listening to this who is looking for individual exercise advice today, what would you recommend?
I would recommend aligning with a personal trainer who has knowledge that can work with their clients to devise the recommendations that are sound and current, and hopefully for that particular person, keep them exercising. Because the main problem with exercise, and we all know this, it's great for us, but the majority of our population is not adherent for the long term. So the key is to get people up and exercising and moving, because that's what confers the greatest benefit, and then keep them moving. And technology, like apps, like AI, clearly could enhance the exercise experience if it's used in conjunction with an expert that can tell the difference.
So you believe the human touch will probably never be replaced?
I don't think it ever will be.
Dr. Linda Pescatello, Distinguished Professor of Kinesiology at the University of Connecticut, thanks for joining us today.
Thank you.
And for InfoTrack, I'm Roy Mackey.
You're listening to InfoTrack, a production of Syndication Networks.
When you use Bounce dryer sheets and your clothes look amazing, it's the sheet. Less static in your life? Yeah, it's the sheet. Smelling fresher than ever? It's the sheet.
Oh, so soft fabric. Ooh la la.
It's the sheet. Less wrinkles on your clothes? You know it's the sheet. Bounce dryer sheets. More freshness, more softness. Less static, less wrinkles. It's the sheet.
In business, service is everything. Cintas delivers what you need to better serve your customers. Whether it's freshly laundered work apparel for almost any job imaginable, tested and inspected fire protection systems, first aid and safety supplies, on-site AED training, or mops and restroom products stocked and ready when you need them. Better work days happen together. So visit Cintas.com.
Oh, I'm ready!
And get ready for the workday.
What are some career challenges faced by women today? How important is the use of nonverbal communication? And how can doubt be replaced by true confidence on the job? InfoTrack's Gina Tedesco has the story. Gina?
Thanks, Chris. Joining us is Meg Baccaro, who's now out with the book Put Your Big Girl Pants On and Other Power Moves to Increase Influence. You begin the book by talking about communication's importance and then about recognizing judgments that others might make about you. When that happens, what should we do to counteract the problem?
Well, I think it's first important to note that judgments happen all the time, and sometimes they work in our favor, but sometimes they don't. So just knowing that judgment doesn't have to be always this negative, like, oh no, right? It happens, and we also have judgments on others. But I think just being intentional about the fact that that's happening, that if I'm just walking down in my office from cubicle to cubicle, somebody might look up and place some type of judgment on me. So I think just being intentional is really what's most important here.
Now, women must often make presentations on the job to get their ideas considered. Give us two or three tips on how to manage fears of making a presentation.
Well, preparation is always going to help with that, of course. So if you feel prepared as you possibly can be, that's going to help decrease any nervous feeling or lower that imposter syndrome voice that you may have that just distracts you from a great performance in one sense. I also think rehearsing, even if it's just for a few minutes, thinking through, I always suggest to my clients, don't wing it. As good as you might think you are, it's always better after you've practiced it, rehearsed it, thought it through.
And in addition to that, not just rehearsing and practicing, but really knowing your subject matter, isn't that right?
Absolutely, absolutely. That is where this being as authentic as you can be to yourself is where true confidence comes from. So authentically knowing what it is you're speaking about, and that will just help you be more comfortable and more confident looking.
Now, sometimes people hearing our presentation may have questions and maybe even objections. If you're not sure during a meeting how to address an objection, what should you say?
I think you can just be honest. Even if you're taken a little bit off guard, I always suggest to my clients and audiences to have a phrase or two or three that you have already created that you're comfortable with. So when you're in a situation like that, you can just kind of pull out a phrase instead of being shell-shocked and then looking like, oh, I don't know, and now I'm embarrassed. So have a phrase. It could be something like, now that is a really good question that I just don't have the answer to right now. Let me do, and then whatever that action step is that you need to do to get that answer authentically and confidently, just promise that you'll do that.
Let's talk about attending meetings in general. Now, we often hear of the concept man-spreading, in which men might sit with their knees out or their elbows out, but you advise women to take up a lot of space. What does that do?
When you take up space, you are communicating a fact, a feeling that I belong here, that I am confident in who I am and what I have to offer. Conversely, if you take up less space, you communicate the opposite. I don't want to be here. I don't know that I deserve to be here. Nonverbal communication is so very important, and the way we take up space physically and even verbally also is very important in how it reflects our ability.
You advise women to communicate the boundaries that they set. Why are setting and communicating boundaries so important?
Because that puts the power in our own hands. If somebody is inviting us, encouraging us, threatening us to give us more work, or asking us to attend something that we don't really feel that is within our wheelhouse or responsibility, we can set boundaries authentically, confidently, respectfully, and in doing so, we take control back.
And the book discusses so-called negative self-talk, that is, telling yourself things like, oh, I can't do that. Now, how do we replace negative self-talk with positive reinforcements?
I think the easiest way to do that is to concentrate on facts, not feelings. So many of us experience that, men and women alike, actually. Research does say that women experience this a little bit more often, but I always ask my clients to say, okay, let's look at what are the facts. The facts are, I've been doing this for 25 years. The facts are, I have this specific position for a reason. The facts are, I got the job because they believe in me. The facts are, and so concentrate on what the facts are, not so much your feelings in that moment.
All good advice. Author Meg Baccaro, the book Put Your Big Girl Pants On. Thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you.
For InfoTrack, I'm Gina Tedesco.
That wraps up another edition of InfoTrack. Our executive producer is Randy Meyer, and I'm your host, Chris Whitting, inviting you to join us next week for another edition of InfoTrack.
95.7 FM, St. Croix Country.
These girls you love never gave back diamond rings. I wish every porch had a swing. Wish kids still learn to say sir and ma'am, how to shake a hand. I wish every state had a Birmingham. I wish everybody knew all the words to mama tried. I wish Monday mornings felt just like Friday nights. And I wish even cars had truck beds, and every road was named Copperhead, and coolers never run out of cold Bud Light. And I wish high school home teams never lost, and back road drinking kids never got caught. And I wish the price of gas was low and cotton was high. I wish honky-tonks didn't have no closing time. And I wish grandpas never died. I wish Sundays on a creek bank would never end. Wish I could learn to drive again. Wish the first time 17 she was my everything. Kiss in a Chevrolet could happen every day. I wish everybody overseas was gonna make it home. I wish country music still got played on country radio. And I wish even cars had truck beds, and every road was named Copperhead, and coolers never run out of cold Bud Light. And I wish high school home teams never lost, and back road drinking kids never got caught. And I wish the price of gas was low and cotton was high. Farms never got sold, and I wish even cars had truck beds, and every road was named Copperhead, and coolers never run out of cold Bud Light. I wish high school home teams never lost, and back road drinking kids never got caught. And I wish the price of gas was low and cotton was high. Talks didn't have no closing time. And I wish grandpas never died. I wish grandpas never died.
I was in my early 40s with a lot of life before me, when a moment came that stopped me on a dime. I spent most of the next days looking at the x-rays, and talking about the options, and talking about sweet time. I asked him when it sank in that this might really be the real end. How's it hit you when you get that kind of news? Man, what'd you do? And he said, I went skydiving, I went Rocky Mountain climbing, I went 2.7 seconds on a bull named Blue Manchu, and I looked deeper. I've been denying. And he said, someday I hope you get the chance to live like you were dying. He said, I was finally the husband that most of the time I wasn't. And I became a friend would like to have. And all of a sudden going fishing wasn't such an imposition. And I went 3 times that year, I lost my dad. Well, I finally read the good book and I took a good long hard look at what I'd do if I could do it all again. And then I went skydiving, I went Rocky Mountain climbing, I went 2.7 seconds on a bull named Fu Manchu. And I looked deeper and I spoke sweeter and I gave forgiveness I've been denying. And he said, someday I hope you get the chance to live like you would die. Like tomorrow was a gift and you got eternity. Think about what you do with it. What did you do with it? What did I do with it? What would I do with it? Skydiving, I went Rocky Mountain climbing, I went 2.7 seconds on a full name Fu Manchu. And I love deeper and I spoke sweeter and I watched an eagle as it was flying. And he said, someday I hope you get the chance to live like you were dying. To live like you were dying.
Is the brand new St. Croix Country on 95.7 FM.
Fill 'em only with the gold of the loud, burning up the night.
use a little more wide open. Back when all I wanted was the hand I was holding. Living in the moment with a good time crowd. Making life count. Damn, I could use a little more back then right now. Yeah, back then right now. Yeah, back then right now. Yeah, back then right now. Just a little more back then now.
St. Croix Country, 95.7 FM.
Stacked against you, girl, get back in bed.
I feel lucky. I feel lucky, yeah.
No Professor Doom gonna stand in my way. I feel lucky today. Well, I strolled down to the corner, gave my number to the clerk. The pot's 11 million, so I called in sick to work. I bought a pack of Camels, a burrito, and a Parks. Crossed against the light, made a beeline for the park. The sky began to thunder, wind began to moan. I heard a voice above me saying, girl, you better get back home. But I feel lucky. Today, now 11 million later, I was sitting at the bar. I bought the house a double and the waitress a new car. Dwight Yoakam's in the corner trying to catch my eye. Lyle Love is right beside me with his hand upon my thigh. Moral of the story is simple but it's true. Hey, the stars might lie, but the numbers never do. I feel lucky. Oh, 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 I feel lucky, yeah. Hey, Dwight. Hey, Lyle. Boys, you don't have to fight. Hot dog, I feel lucky tonight. I feel lucky today.
love's never come my way. I've never been this far. 'Cause you took these two left feet and waltzed away with my heart. No, I don't dance, but here I
from St. Croix Country. 95.7 FM.
You like the way that sounds?
Little Jimmy Jackson is jacking up his bra.
Boondocks, we buy beer and Amoco, and crank our Quaker speakers with that country radio.
LaCroix Country, 95.7 FM.
I'm a $10 cowboy, maybe that's a fact. I got some inhibitions that might be holding me back. I've been seeing this portrait attached to a small fee. Oh, a $10 cowboy who looks a lot like me. If you're a $10 cowboy, then you already know that there never was a rider who couldn't be thrown. Even Billy McLean fell off a time or two. He was a $10 cowboy who looked a lot like you. I'm a $10 cowboy, I play a little guitar. People always ask me if I'm a rodeo star. Doubt if I got 8 seconds, but I can sing you a song. Like a big bull rider, I'm steady holding on. $10 cowboy, he leads a colorful life. Don't you worry about him, he knows he only died twice. Like Billy McLean, he's the last of his breed. He's just a $10 cowboy who looks a lot like me. Street corners, learning to stand behind this guitar. $10 was a whole lot of money. Cowboy, cowboy singer, both highly hazardous occupations. Look out!